Get a deeper connection with the Cougars of BYU Sports.
God gives us a gift, and we use that gift until He takes it away.
Deep Blue.
Just sitting down afterward and being really tired and thinking like, wow, I just won the U.S. Championship.
This is Deep Blue. Here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Thanks for tuning in for a brand new episode of Deep Blue. This is the show where we get to know the person behind the number that you see on the field or the court. These are the true stories of BYU athletes from their own mouths. Happy to have my guest today is BYU wide receiver Chase Roberts. Chase, thanks for taking a few minutes. I always enjoy talking to you. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, of course. I'm excited to be here, and this is a cool podcast thing that you do. So
yeah, we're gonna get into a lot of things, but I want to start here. I want to start with Tabitha's Way. For those that don't know what that is, explain what that is and how you're involved with it.
Yeah, we started. I mean, it's been going for a couple years now. It's always fun because it's in American Fork, and that's where I grew up. And we get to go volunteer, help out whatever they need. In the moment, I know during Christmas time, me and JoJo were there. We were passing out little toys to little kids as they were driving by, and just to see the light on their faces, and it just puts into perspective, you know, what really matters. And especially as football players, we're so focused on winning games and making the fans happy, but really, it's about those people that are struggling that also need the joy and the happiness in their life, and we go out of our way to do that. And Tabitha's Way is a great way to get back to my hometown, American Fork, yeah.
How much do you guys, you touched on it a little bit there, but I know that Coach Satake talks about there being more to being an athlete at BYU than just what you do on the field or the court, that there are these opportunities for service. How much do you guys seek out those opportunities and really enjoy that aspect of being an athlete at BYU?
Oh, it's the best. And it is the number one thing at BYU that we do. We focus on that first, the outside stuff, the being a good person, taking care of our family, putting God first in our life. And that translates to, you know, if we're taking care of that stuff in our life, then Coach Kalani always says it's going to translate on the field. Like, it really is. And we're going to go win some games if we have that part down in our life. And that's number one. And I've seen as sometimes we get that flipped and we think football, we need to be always focused on football, kind of, you know, zoned in, when in reality it's being zoned in on what matters most. And then football just comes, and then we play well, we play loose, we love each other, and we play as a team and we win games. So I think this offseason we've done a great job as a team, just loving each other, looking at the community, looking outside of ourselves, and it's shown in the workouts, and I think it'll show in the fall as well.
It seems like it's somewhat of a cliche thing to say in terms of, because we hear it all the time, you know, it helps put priorities in order. But when you have the mindset that you just talked about in terms of wanting to seek out these opportunities for service and all the things that come with it, how does having your priorities straight that way help you when you're on the football field? Does it help you stay more focused when you are on the football field because other things maybe off the field are in the proper order?
Exactly. Yeah. Just like the principle of making your bed in the morning. Like, you start off with something that you've accomplished and you feel good. And then the next thing happens and you want to do that well. And then the next thing, and it just rolls over into a great day. And I think that's the whole off season that we've got, had that making your bed in the morning mindset of, you know, take care of the things that we need to, and things will take care of itself in the fall. And I felt that with each of the players, and they kind of have that mindset as we've come together and talked as the leaders and captains and as coaches. You know, we've seen that's what we need to focus on this season, and football is going to take care of itself. And it's been cool to see when we focus that the workouts are better, that we're starting to make plays, we're starting to just come together as a team.
Right.
So it just comes as you know, make your bed in the morning. I like to always think of as that's kind of the mindset.
Okay, so since you brought up the analogy, you've got me curious. Do you make your bed every morning?
For the most part, I'm obviously not perfect. There's times I wake up and I just leave. We have early morning workouts, But
I'm like, nobody sees it. You're going to be back in your bed exactly. later in the evening. What's the point?
I know. It is, though. As I've like, it really is helpful, though, when you come back to a made bed, like, all right, like, I've done something today. You know, like, I don't know.
I'm accomplished today. Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
All right, so let's talk football. And I know so much of last year you got bombarded, and rightfully so. I mean, it was just a massive storyline. You got bombarded with questions about first year in the Big 12 Conference and how difficult it's going to be. We knew going in what the Big 12 Conference represented for BYU to be involved in a league like that. From your perspective of having been in the program when it was in Independence and now in the Big 12 as well, from a strictly on-the-field standpoint, how different was it going from Independence to the Big 12?
I think there was a more it's hard because Independence was fun, but it's also like you have a team that you're really excited to play, and then the next week is kind of this, all right, we need to beat them. We should beat this team. Whereas Big 12 is like, no, we got Texas Tech. We got Texas next week, and then we got Kansas, and then we got – you know what I mean? Like, we got these teams that – we got to be prepared every week. We got to fight. We got to grind. And there's no, like, break or, you know, let's chill this week. We, you know, we're probably going to beat this team if we don't do anything. And it's a different mindset. And I think being in a conference and having an opportunity to play for a Big 12 championship, you know, we felt that momentum in that, you know, we're a good team. We can do this. And I think this year we have even more of that confidence going in, knowing that we can compete for a Big 12 championship, and I fully believe that. And hopefully you can hear it in my voice, like, from the off season and what I've seen and what the players are now doing and the coaches that we have now, like, we can win a Big 12 championship, and that's just makes it so much more exciting than being Independent and, you know, and the expansion of the playoff now. So yeah. It's just like, it's a new level. It's the next level of football. And I think we're stepping up to the plate and really competing in this new level.
What about last year can you take to improve this year with this year's team? Like, what do you take from last year and the ups and downs? And I know it certainly didn't finish the way you guys wanted, but what can you take from that experience and push it forward to make it a positive this year?
I think a lot of there was times where players were, I guess, unmotivated, and it translated into games. And I think having this off-season workout and having, like, talking with players and the captains really stepping up and getting that motivation and the internal, like, okay, what are we doing off the field to have this motivation during the season that, you know, we're playing for something, we're playing for our families, we have families to feed, you know, like, and I think once that clicks, then, because we have that, we have the talent on our team, we really do. And it's really that motivation and that mindset of we're dogs. Like, we're going to be the one that punches them in the face and starts this game off physical. And once that clicks, and which it will this fall, and you'll see it, then we're going to run with it and be that physical team that nobody wants to play.
You mentioned the word family, and there's BYU blood in your family, obviously. Your dad played football back in the 90s. How much was BYU football talked about in your household growing up? Was it always BYU? Is that the way you were raised?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it wasn't like we were all decked out in blue every, you know, and I would attend some games and stuff. We were big BYU fans. I remember watching them at home with my family, going crazy with the big catches, the game-winning catches. But I always felt just a piece about BYU that, you know, growing up with it and my dad playing here and getting offered to play here, there was so much peace knowing that, you know, this is where I'm going to play. This is where I'm going to spend, you know, a lot of my life and career here at BYU. And hopefully in the future be able to come back and do some stuff with BYU. It's just... yeah, growing up with that, it's a special place that I'll always have in my heart.
What was your upbringing like? Give us your family dynamic and what it was like growing up in the Roberts household in American Fork.
Yeah, we were very – it's fun because my dad's super sporty. Like, his whole side of the family's rough, tough, kind of not redneck, but I guess a little more country.
Yeah.
And then my mom's side's from Southern California. or Northern California, sorry. And they love like theater and singing and dancing. And so it's kind of a fun mix of, we have the dancer side, and then the kind of the rough, tough, like chill. So the dynamic's super fun. My mom grew up singing with us, dancing with us, and we love instruments, we love music. And then my dad would go out and we'd play football together. We'd tackle each other and go boating and hunting and fishing. And so I think growing up with my little brother, older sister, it was just a blast, because we were always doing something, whether it was a theater type, you know, play, yeah, or something sporty, something more manly. And not saying that theater isn't manly, but
you were very well-rounded growing up.
Yeah, it was fun because there was everything, and just a fun time. Grew up in Highland, so a fun place to grow up and be close to the mountains and do a lot of fun things. So definitely miss childhood, but it's fun to be older now too.
Over your career, you've caught a lot of passes from a lot of different quarterbacks: Jaren Hall, Keaton Slovis, Jake Retzlaff. How much of an adjustment is it for you depending on the quarterback, or is that somewhat overblown?
When it comes down to it, you just go out and play and make plays, and there's an aspect of like trust and timing and knowing where you want to be, and that does elevate the game a lot. But you see it all the time in the NFL and in college, that people get hurt, and then the next guy needs to step up, and you need to make plays and make catches. And I think it is overblown a little bit. And when you're in the game, like, we're all D1 athletes, like, we'll figure it out, and then we can go make plays no matter what. So it's been fun to play with all of them. And I think all of them know. I think we've played together enough, and even new guys coming in, we've already gotten the reps and stuff. Like, we're just making sure that preseason stuff, that we'll get reps with whoever it is, we have the reps down, and we'll be confident going into the game that whoever it is, we're going to make plays and score points. So
you have become one of the more recognizable and prominent players in the program right now. Do you enjoy that part of it?
I do, yeah. I think it's a great way to kind of show who I am, to be an example to the younger generation. And I feel like Heavenly Father's really blessed me in a way that I can be in the spotlight and be able to share my testimony and to show people that putting God first is number one. You know, we need to always put Him first, and then football comes second. And so I do love being able to be recognized by kids and talk and be an influence in their lives. So
to take that another step further, obviously with BYU being a faith-based institution, it is much easier to be able to show that side of your personality and your life and what it means to you. As strange as it may sound, how can you as a football player represent the Savior when you're out in the world, whether it's on the field or just out in the world in general?
Yeah, I was always contemplating that, especially on my mission of how I can be a better disciple as a football player, because I'm going to be so focused on football. Yeah. And I remember my mission president telling me, like, every time you make a cool catch or every time you score a touchdown, you're glorifying God and you're making a play for Christ. And I was like, that is awesome. And just super motivating for me to give it all I got and to make those plays so that I can glorify Him, especially just being at that BYU. You make a play and it represents Christ. Like, that's the amazing thing about being here and being able to, like you said, talk about it all the time. And it really has been such a testimony builder to me that I can use football and the hard work that I put into football to spread the gospel.
Our guest today is Chase Roberts. We will take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into to more with Chase and his career with BYU and some of the things that he's been able to do at such a young age, including serve a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We'll get into all that when we return here on the Deep Blue Podcast on BYU Radio. Hey, Cougar fans, this is Jason Shepherd. I hope you're enjoying another season of great interviews here on Deep Blue. If you love Deep Blue, you should check out our other BYU radio podcasts like Her Why. Lauren McLean talks about everything BYU women's athletics with current athletes and coaches, plus stars from the past. BYU has some of the best women's teams in the NCAA, and you want to hear their unique perspectives. So download and subscribe to Her Why on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find podcasts. Welcome back to the Deep Blue Podcast. My name is Jason Shepherd. Happy to have my guest today, BYU receiver Chase Roberts. And you were a star football player in high school. You were very accomplished in your high school career. When did you realize that continuing your football career was a reality? Was that pretty early on?
It was. I remember, like, growing up when I was little, I loved all sports. I played basketball, baseball, football, ran track, and really enjoyed each and every one of them. But really, football, I excelled the most at. My first ever play in football was a kick return for the touchdown, and that's, I kind of knew, like, this is fun. And I had so much passion for football, and I just wanted to be playing football all the time. You know, I'd be on the baseball field and looking over at the football field, you know, and I think that's when I knew that football was kind of in my heart and what I wanted to do. And then come high school and was able to get an offer from BYU as a sophomore. And it's like, all right, like I'm sticking with football and it's going to be my career. So
you said, you know, in the previous segment that, you know, BYU is always where you wanted to go. There was just a peace and a calm. Did that sway people from coming after you? Like, who else came after you, and how hard did they push knowing how strong you were feeling about BYU?
Yeah, no. Yeah. I remember, Utah.
Yeah.
They were obviously, they recruit a lot from BYU guys.
Sure.
And they want the BYU guys, right?
Yeah.
So that was kind of a fun little thing to deal with. And they were pretty good, you know, their persuasion and stuff. And, but I, at the end of the day, I was, you know, they couldn't sway me. I just felt that peace and Kalani and what we had going on at BYU. There was no way. And USC as well, they, how much of a BYU guy are you?
Sure,
you know, that's
yeah.
kind of like the main question I got. And I just told him, yeah, I'm going to BYU. This is where I'm going to be. So
going to college out of high school, what would you have said was your biggest strength? And now that you've been in collegiate athletics for a little while, has that changed at all? Do you feel like your strengths have changed?
There's a lot of different things. It was cool to see how I felt quicker when I got back. And when I was on my mission, I felt, you know, there's no way I'm going to have this, you know, quickness that I had in high school. And but I felt once I got to college, that was one of my strengths is being quick off the line and being able to get open. I'm not a burner where I can run by guys, but just being able to use my body to make plays and go make the big catch and has kind of been something that I kind of take pride in and has been a strength here at BYU. And so it was kind of a miracle to see the things I was able to do after my mission, after taking 2 years off, that I didn't think I would be able to accomplish.
We're going to get into your mission in just a second, but I want to go to something that happened prior to, and last year in a BYU devotional, you had shared a story about how you were invited to the Under Armour All-American game. You were injured, so you weren't able to play, but you shared a story about how you were able to share the gospel with the guy that you shared a room with and how you were able to talk about missions with the guys there. And obviously the reason that game is put on is for an athletic standpoint, but it turned out to be a completely different type of situation for you.
Exactly. Yeah, it was pretty special. When they were announcing all the players, they talked about how I would take 2 years after this Under Armour game to leave to Canada and to serve for Jesus Christ. And everyone came up to me after and they were like, that's actually really cool, man. Like, you're taking football like off for 2 years. And there was another kid that came up, and I guess, I don't know why he was there. He was a younger kid, and he said, I'm actually a member. And So I really admire that. And the little experiences, like my roommate, we were able to talk about the scriptures in the Book of Mormon every night as we, you know, before we went to bed. And it was like a bummer, you know, knowing that I wasn't going to play in the game and I got injured right the day before. And but also just so much joy knowing that, you know, maybe this wasn't the reason I was supposed to come here, you know, to make plays in the game, but to spread the gospel and to touch that one kid, you know, that maybe wasn't going to serve a mission, but now that he saw me take 2 years off and that he now has decided to serve a mission. So little things like that I was able to see, and it was really cool.
Got a little jump start on what being a missionary was going to be all about, right?
Exactly.
So let's talk about your mission. You said, you know, you go to Canada. How transformative was that experience for you now when you look back on it?
Oh, it was everything. You know, being able to go through something like that, being away from your family for 2 years, learning a new language, being with a whole different culture. I was with the Filipino people, having another guy with me 24/7, which is probably the hardest thing about a mission, really taught me about just everything, patience and hard work and determination and just not giving up, figuring things out. And I feel like it has rolled over into football. Yep. And it will as I, you know, find a wife and start a family. And there's so many lessons, and I could go on forever about what a mission gives you and blesses you with in your life. And it was such a special experience.
How difficult was it then coming back and trying to get back? Because everybody, obviously you have tons and tons of teammates that also go through this. Yeah. You know, you come back from your mission and now it's time to get back to football. Was that difficult for you?
It was, yeah. And physically, it was for sure. and also everything else, spiritually, socially. But you figure it out and you just take it day by day. And I mean, when you arrive in the mission, it's that same feeling. And then when you get home from your mission, it's that same just unknown feeling. And those are the moments where you decide, you know, I'm just going to go take it day by day. And you look back on those moments and you're just so grateful because it's going to happen again. Let's say I get drafted and have to go into the training camp and I'm a brand new, you know, everything's new, but I've had these experiences of being a fresh on the mission, you know, sure. Fresh back from the mission, and has really prepared me for moments like that.
So you come back. Your freshman year, you're on a team that also has Puka Nacua, who we obviously know what he's done in the NFL so far. Gunnar Romney was on this roster as well, but they both unfortunately get sidelined for the Baylor game, which turns out to be a breakout game for you. What do you remember from that game? I know what I remember. What do you remember?
I just remember being a little nervous, especially Coach Roderick before the game. In front of the whole team, he points me out and says, "Chase, I expect you to step up this game and make some plays." And me being a freshman and, you know, never played a game in Lavelle Edwards Stadium, that didn't help my nerves, you know. But I also felt so much peace, like, on the drive over, just knowing, you know, said a little prayer, like, "Hey, whatever happens, I'm going to glorify you, Heavenly Father." And I just felt so much peace knowing that he was going to take care of me. And making some big plays in the game was a special moment for me and something that I'll never forget. It'll always be my favorite memory at BYU, being able to beat Baylor in our house and protect our house. And it was so special.
I've got to assume there's also a part of that where you're coming home from your mission, and even the most, you know, the biggest and greatest athletes, you always wonder, can I get it back? Like, how quickly can I get it back? Was that a game where you kind of were able to exhale? I was like, not like in a boastful way, but like, got it.
Yeah, exactly. And I can hang. You know, that was that moment of, you know, this is fun.
Yeah.
Like, I got back. I feel good, you know?
Yeah.
It took a while. It took, obviously, from the mission. But, yeah, that was the game where I got kind of that confidence back of, you know, this is just a game. You know, this is another level, but just feel like I was back in high school making plays. So
let's talk about another big victory. And you had an unbelievable catch. One of the greatest catches in BYU football history against Arkansas last year. Take me through that play and what you remember from that touchdown catch, which, by the way, ended up being the number one highlight on SportsCenter that night.
Yeah, that was a fun night. I remember beforehand being really down because I had fumbled right before halftime, I believe, and it was a big fumble. And I hadn't had the best game. I wasn't playing super well. And at halftime, all my teammates were like, "Bro, we need you. Like, let's go, babe. Like, let's come on." And I was like, "Yeah, I got you." And just seeing like the love that my teammates had for me, like, I wanted to make a play for them, and I wanted to, be the one to make a big play, and they trusted in me to do that. So going into the second half and in the fourth quarter, when the time came, I was hoping the ball would come to me so I could make a play. And Keaton threw a great ball, and I was able to stick my hand out. I think there was some divine intervention that into that catch, but just so grateful for my teammates, I think, in that game and in that moment, and for the confidence that they gave me.
You mentioned that the Baylor game was probably your most fondest moment to this point.
Yeah, I don't know if that one can be.
Is the Arkansas catch your best catch of your career? Is there something else that you would put higher than that? And if there's something better than that, I would love to know what it is.
I think it's probably up there, yeah. Okay. And just like the timing of it, yeah. It was a cool moment.
Do you ever go back and just watch it?
I watched it a couple times.
I would only watch it every day is what I would do if I did. All right, so let's talk about, as we begin to wrap things up, and I thank you so much again for doing this. This has been amazing. Let's talk about this season coming up. What gets you excited about the opportunities that are ahead of you and this team?
So many things. I love my teammates and my coaches right now, and there's a lot of love and camaraderie that is happening right now in the locker room, in workouts, in meetings. And I'm just excited to play for them and to play for something bigger. I felt like there were times last year we were sometimes very selfish. And I was at a point where I was selfish and just wanted to play for myself. And there were other players like that. And this year is different. It's a different vibe, a different feel, and that's what I'm most excited for this season, is knowing that we're gonna dominate and we're gonna have fun playing. So I'm excited for that.
Does legacy mean anything to you? And if so, what do you want your legacy to be at BYU when your time in Provo comes to an end? Does it mean anything to you? Is that something that you think about?
I hope. Yeah, for sure. And I think, you look at players in the past, you look at Lavelle Edwards and the legacy he left. I hope that when people think of Chase and of this team this year, they think of just heart and love and fight. And I hope that's the legacy that this team leaves and that I'm able to leave is he was himself. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ, and he played like that. And that's the legacy that I always think of.
Chase, you're awesome. I always appreciate your willingness to do interviews and do things like this. You were fantastic. Thank you so much for doing this today. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
You bet. My name is Jason Shepherd. Josh Bergstrom and Ben Hall produced this episode. Deep Blue's senior producer is Cleon Wall. You can download and subscribe to Deep Blue on all podcast platforms or find all episodes on the BYU Radio app. Deep Blue is a production of BYU Radio.